Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our scripture for this week and for the next 2 weeks after all come from 1 Samuel. So I'll be reading chapter 3, verses 1 through 20. You're welcome to follow along with your pew Bible on page 341, or the words will be on the screen. Sit back, it's a long one. Now the boy, Samuel, was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go lie down." So Samuel returned to his place and laid down again. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." So Samuel got up and went back to Eli and said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "I did not call you, my son. Go lie back down." So Samuel goes back into the temple of the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant of God is and tries to lay down. And then the Lord called Samuel again for a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And then Eli finally perceived that the Lord was actually calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." And Samuel laid there until morning. And then he went and he opened the door to the house of the Lord. For Samuel was afraid to tell this very vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What is it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me, all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "Eli said, 'It is the Lord. Let the Lord do what seems good to him.'" And as Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. So why this story? Why this call story about Samuel? And if you look at the art on the cover of your bulletin, you're going to notice that we are going to explore over the next few weeks a little bit of a partnership, so to speak, where we have a prophet and two kings. So I'm giving you a heads up that Samuel is the prophet. And who do you think the two kings are? Saul and David. Okay. So we're going to hear some of those stories. And in order to build the foundation upon which to talk about this, let me give you a little bit of background, a little bit of context. So as Pastor Amy shared in her children's message, Samuel was in the service to the Lord at a very young age. And it is because if we go to chapter 1, we hear of Samuel's mother, Hannah, who would go to the temple and she would pray, and because she had been barren and she was so desperately wanting to have a child. And so she prayed to the Lord for this. The same Eli saw Hannah with her lips moving and thought that she had consumed a little too much to drink and accused her of not having good intentions. And she was just like, no, you don't understand. I am praying to the Lord. I want a child so much. And her prayer was, Lord, if you grant me this gift of a child, I promise to return him to you. So the child for which she prayed was Samuel. And when Samuel was weaned and of the appropriate age, Hannah returned to that same temple, to the same Eli who had initially condemned her for thinking she had consumed drink, but realized that she was actually very, very much attuned to prayer and humble before God. And Hannah gifted Samuel into the service of the Lord under the tutelage of Eli. But Hannah would come back every year and visit her son as he grew up. And Hannah did go on to bear more children. But the whole point is this child, the child from whom I prayed for, had been knitted together in Hannah's womb with the very promise and vow that he would be one to serve the Lord. And so we have him in the temple now. We have this very young person, Samuel, and a much older Eli at this point, right? Eli's losing his eyesight. And what is the significance of Samuel lying in the temple of the Lord? Because that was where the Ark of God resided, right? What was that symbolic of? That if the Ark was there, God was in that place, right? And so Samuel was in such close proximity to the holy presence of God and yet did not know yet the Lord. So when the Lord called Samuel by name, Samuel truly thought it was his mentor, Eli, right? So he goes, and I'm looking at some of you, and I'm just thinking, how many of you have little ones that come to you in the middle of the night, and they go, Mommy, and it scares you, or whatever that is, but they come to you, and you're kind of like jostled awake, and you're like, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, right? And then you hope that maybe a drink of water and a short song might get them to go back to sleep, right? But Samuel goes back and hears his name called again, and he thinks that it's Eli. And so, you know, he responds and goes to Eli. And, of course, Eli is like, dude, I didn't call you. Go back to bed, right? I mean, have we, like, that's a totally human interaction, right? Okay, so then Samuel goes, the Lord calls Samuel's name, and he goes back to Eli, and the third time around, it finally hits Eli of, oh, right, God is speaking to Samuel. So it's my job to teach him how to respond instead of him coming to me to actually respond to God. And so says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so Samuel goes and does that. Now, the context to this also is the vision that Samuel has is one truly of condemnation over Eli and his family. Because his sons were doing horrible things. Read chapter 2. You'll read all about it. And Eli knew and tried to redirect, but did not succeed in getting his sons to stop this abhorrent behavior before God. So Eli kind of knew. So he knew, and then Samuel's holding this information and had to tell him. And Eli is like, "You got to tell me everything. Don't hide anything from me." And what's interesting is if you hear Eli's response, he says, "May it be so." Eli acknowledges that what God had said actually coincided with the dynamic and situation that his sons had lived in. There was an acceptance, a resignation, right? And so Eli knew. But this message was conveyed from Samuel to Eli because the Lord had spoken to Samuel. And so in this case, the very clue at the very beginning is that the word of God had not been heard often or in limited capacities, and visions were not widespread. And so when we think about the history, you know, they've been led out of Egypt. They're in the promised land, right? Joshua's led them into the promised land. They've broken up into their tribes, into the various areas. And in that season, what kind of dictated and helped guide the community were actually judges, right? Who would sit and say, "This is how we need to do things, and this is how we need to do things." And so we see both this role of judge and prophet. And this is where we see Samuel as prophet. And eventually we will see him also as priest. Because of the condemnation against Eli and Eli's family, it is setting Samuel up to become that priest in service to the Lord. He had already been serving, but he will become the priest of the temple, offering sacrifices and atonement for the community. So we see this as well. And later, as we hear the stories of the two kings, Samuel will also fulfill the role of judge. So we're catching an early glimpse of Samuel of being prophet, priest to be coming in the future, and judge to be coming to the future, right? Like, he's serving in three ways. And Samuel is going to have a pretty important role in this transition in the life of God's people, from people who were gathered into their tribal regions, into family units, and being led by judges, to a demand for a king, someone to lead them. And there's a lot of human emotions that go into that. And we're going to explore what that dynamic is for Samuel a little bit later. So this context is really rich, right? I've given you a whole lot of information. You can sit with it. You can go back and read it. Why does it matter? Because we find ourselves in the story, right? So if we start at the very beginning, are we hearing the words of God through prophets? Do we have modern day prophets in our lives? And that's kind of a hard one, right? To like wrap our head around, particularly in this season, about whose voice is the loudest tends to be the one that is heard that may not necessarily reflect the intent of God, right? And then we wonder, who is interceding for us as priest? Who is the one who can atone for our sins? There is but one who can do that, and that is Jesus, right? And there is but one judge. We often look at others and pass judgment on them or make snap you know, judges, you know, or first impressions, or don't give people the benefit of the doubt. But there's only one judge who will determine if we have been faithful to the call or not, and that is God, Jesus, God, right? Yeah. So it matters to us, because even in this time, we see the beauty of a relationship, of an answered prayer for Hannah, a commitment to serve the Lord. I mean, Samuel could have run away, even though Hannah had said, "You're going to go to the Lord," but he didn't. He stayed. He did what he was, you know, determined and committed to do, even when the times got hard. Does that mean that he loved everything and was so happy with God all the time? Nope. We read that in Scripture. So what is this beautiful relationship? We have Samuel, a young person, and Eli, a very experienced, wise person. Samuel needed Eli to help him learn to hear and understand and acknowledge that the voice that he was hearing was that of God. How many of us have had adult mentors that have helped us navigate a life of faith, who have helped us say, well, what would God ask of you in this moment? Is this really holding true to God's purpose for you? Sometimes we need those older mentors. And I don't mean older as in age, but older in spirituality. Those that have been rich and deep, entrenched in faithfulness to God, that they're immersed in Scripture, they're praying, they're in community, they're seeking to better understand God, and they can then become guides to us who are younger in our faith. And I don't mean younger by age, but earlier on in our spiritual journeys. Right? So Samuel needed Eli. Well, here's the thing. Eli needed Samuel. Right? Eli was getting to a point where there were some things that he could not do anymore. And he needed the youth of Samuel. More importantly, it may be that Eli maybe couldn't hear God as clearly as Eli did in the past. And he needed someone with fresh ears to be able to listen. And Samuel became a prophet. And prophet is one who hears from God, speaks on behalf of God, and also intercedes on behalf of people to God. And that is where we hear that none of Samuel's words fell to the ground, that they were sacred, that what he was saying truly was of God and for God's people. And that gave Eli probably some hope. Here he just got this horrible condemnation of his family, knowing that the priestly line was ending with him and his family. And he's like, who's going to take care of the temple? Who's going to continue to lead the people? Here I am. Your servant is listening. So for me, I can imagine that there was a sense of comfort in that too, that there would be continuity, that there would be someone who could hear the voice of God, who could faithfully lead God's people into the future. So this matters, right? Have y'all ever thought about this relationship in this way, or about Samuel and the importance that he had? I don't know. Me either sometimes. Our challenge is to say, how do we find ourselves in this story? Are we like Samuel? Maybe young in our faith and hearing things but not sure what to do with them? Are we more like Eli, who've been here for, you know, we've been here for a while and our eyes are getting tired and we're not sure we can do this anymore? Are we outside the walls, trying to be faithful to God and needing spiritual direction from within? I imagine we're probably on those outside edges, friends. And yet we are gathered here together, seeking a word from the Lord that will fulfill something that we did not have before, to answer that call that you were meant to be in service to God, that you are beloved of God, and we help each other hear and understand that purpose and calling. Yeah? That's why we gather together as a community, trusting that God is in our presence, that God is in our midst, that God is with us when we leave this place. And we are challenged to be those mentors into the world, aka the light bearers of Jesus, the love bearers of God into the world. Samuel is important. Eli is important. And so are you. To God be the glory in our response. To God be the glory in our attentiveness to listen to the voice of God. To God be the glory for those who help guide us and lead us. And to God be the glory that all creation will be reconciled back unto God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.